That'll run right. Beginning of Rick's report after supper and working all day with the Mellons, with Isaiah and Leslie this Wednesday after supper, the 20th of June, 73. Channel 1 right. Beginning of Rick's report on working all day with Mellons, with Isaiah and Leslie this Wednesday after supper, the 20th of June, 73. Channel 1 right, and beginning of Rick's report on working all day with Mellons, with Isaiah and Leslie this Wednesday after supper, the 20th of June, 73.
Appreciate this rain, because it's warm out there. It's not, I don't think it's as hot out in the field as it is indoors, but it's hot. But you know, when you get really thirsty, you always find a melon that's got a crack in it or a little bad spot, and then you just kick it with your foot a little bit and the heart of it comes right out. It's warm, but it's sweet, and it's wet. But Isaiah tells us not to eat too much of that, because it'll make you hot. So I follow his advice. But Billy and Bernard, they're just two boys. I guess they're under 15. They didn't pay too much attention there. In fact, they got to busting a little too many, and Isaiah had to get on them. Most time Isaiah was out there cutting, he and his wife would go along and cut him with a knife, and we were out with Leslie, and Leslie rode the tractor, and I'd pick him up off the heap row and toss him up in that little wooden trailer they got. And you know, it's just a little plyboard trailer. It's got a good frame, but it's plyboard side. And when you get it full of melon, that plyboard spreads out and rubs against the tires. And every time we drive in, somebody would wrinkle their nose and say, "Oh, Leslie, you burned the tractor up." But it was those tires rubbing, see? Just that smell of burning rubber. And he just, he's got that little giggle. And every time something go a little tense, or somebody drop a melon or something, all right, you boys, I'm going to watch out now. He just lightened everything up. He got up there, and that tractor's little 6-volt battery thing, and his generator went bad. You could hear the bearings on it just grinding themselves up, and it wouldn't charge. And what he was doing, every time we'd come in with a load, he'd turn it off. And well, that morning it had cranked pretty slow, and after 2 or 3 cranks, it was just about dead. He would just go, And you hear Lester go, So he got off and he got out the hand crank.
Hand crank.
And there was this younger fella, I guess he was about my age or so. He was one of the fellas that had the trucks. And he got a hold of that crank and was going to crank it over for Leslie. And he had his mouth open and his tongue sticking out like somebody does when they're going to lift something really heavy, like they're getting ready for it. And he stuck that crank in there. And he'd push it down and go half a turn. And he'd pull that tongue in and stick it out again and pull it up half a turn. Well, the engine's just going, pull. They're not doing anything. Leslie says, "Wait a minute." He comes around and he kind of sets his legs so and bends over. See, this other fella had cranked it off to the side because he's afraid of that thing kicking. Leslie just got right up on top of it, put it in and set it, and then he goes, he turned that thing 5-10 times in a row without stopping. That tractor just boom, come to life and blow smoke, because oil was leaking out somewhere and it just burning it up, just blowing that oil smoke out. the crank back in the storage chest there and hop on and go. And that old tractor got, you know, got one pipe sticking out for the air intake, one pipe sticking out for oil, then it had a hole where the muffler's supposed to be. And that old muffler done knocked it off a limb. That's why it was making so much noise. Hee! And that hee-hee was just what we followed all day long.
Long day,
10 hours.
Why were you?
Isaiah came back, and Leslie and I and Bernard and Billy had already brought in a load. And Isaiah just had, I don't think he even got any help. And Leslie says, oh, I thought you were going to get some help. I told a couple of boys who wanted to work that we already had enough. Well, what we ended up with was a bunch of little boys. I mean 10 years and younger. And Billy is good size, but he's not strong. And Bernard's thin. And he held his weight, but they don't go on as long as an adult will, and we could have used some. So it all kind of fell to me, because Leslie had to drive,
yeah,
and they had to put, you know, one of the younger.
Put on them boys up there to drive.
Well, I did when I got the hold of the tractor, but we had the boys up there to stack them. And I was tossing them up there. Well, the boys are all right, you know, when they're fresh. But after two loads, they got tired and they got giggly. See? And Billy would turn around and Bernard, and he hit him with a watermelon and it just knocked him flat. Just whoom, and down he'd go. What you doing, man? And then they got, kidding me, old Goomby. Come on, you dummy. Let's go. Let's get these watermelons on here. And they'd pick them up, and you knew they couldn't hardly lift them. I'd hurry over and try and get them with their arms. And they'd throw it up. Billy'd get that thing and let it go. Wham! Down the bottom of that trailer. And Leslie'd turn around. All right, you boys, now let's not drop them. Hee! Well, you know, they got that field set up. You got four rows. Well, you got eight rows and then a drive lane. You got eight more rows and a drive lane. And on the side of that drive lane is what you call your heap rows. You cut them, and then you tote them over and set them right along that drive lane. And we must have stacked, 40, 50 melons in a row sometimes, just to pick up. And that was, when we first went out, they were already stacked there. When we went out again, Leslie had to go off and do something. He came back. They weren't. In the heap rows, because Isaiah was having to cut by himself. He and his wife were cutting. So we had to spread out. And you know that Johnson grass gets tall. And the edges are a little rough. And then there's nettles in there. And they go right through your pants. And burrs. So we would just spread out. And at times you couldn't see over the next row, because that Johnson grass would get up in the air. And you just come barging through and hope somebody was there to catch the melon when you let it go. Well, we towed just a few rows like that and came back, and a truck was there. And he had about 300 or 400 melons already stacked up. So they had an old carpet on the ground to stack them on to keep them clean. And it was two middle-aged fellas. And they had an old blue 10-ton truck, and they backed it up. When we started loading, we were loading the grays. That's the, you know, just, they don't have any stripe on. And for too long, this other two fellows, younger fellows, middle 20s, I'd say, came up, and they had a 10-ton truck, too. It was a red one. I think it was an International Harvester. The other was a Ford. And then three other trucks came. They didn't come in. They just stayed on the road. These fellows we were loading had been there before. They've come back for the second load, and they've come from Columbia, South Carolina. And that's where they're taking the melons to market.
Uh-huh.
And they were kind of jockeying in to get in, one get in before the other, because they wanted those melons. So it looks like Isaiah's got a pretty good melon patch there. Hmm. And then this big, burly fellow in a blue shirt came in, and he was talking to Isaiah, and he said, you take anything you cut. I don't care if it's big or little. I'll take it. And Isaiah said, all right, we'll start cutting for you, and we'll cut these Jubilees, the stripings. And we'll get these fellows out of here. We've got to get them loaded and get them out. Well, we put in another load. I guess we carry about 100 melons on that little cart he hauls by in his tractor. And after two or three, that fellow said, well, look, you're not going to get me loaded today. You ain't got enough, and you ain't going to be enough time. So he got up and left. But by this time, Isaiah had cut a lot of little melons. Well, some of them were much bigger than this gallon milk container, see? That's going to be, what, 8 to 10-pound melon? And these fellows wanted to start at 14 to 18 pounds. So we went on back out and started picking up melons and brought them in. And the fellow would throw them up to him, this young fellow with a truck. And he'd look at the little ones and he'd put them aside. And he'd take the good size and load in his truck, and he'd put all the little ones on the ground. And Isaiah didn't say too much at first. The fellow said they're just too small, or they look kind of gooseneck on them. Well, after two or three more loads, he had about 25 melons on the ground that he didn't want. And Leslie had come up. He'd been driving, and he said, all right, now look, I'm losing money now, and I've done had enough of this. You boys, you going to take these melons, or we'll just stop right where we are. I can get somebody else to take these melons. Now, you said you wanted this load. And that other fellow said he'd take them all, and now he's gone off. Hey, well, look, man, we'll go see him. He'll come back and pick up these little ones. I said, no, he's not coming back. Now, I just don't know what I'm going to do about this now. I'm just losing too much money. Well, I think we'll just stop it right here. We're just not going to pick any more up out of here, and you can just go on. And then that would come out. And that would just break the tension. And a young fellow on the truck was, now you look at this melon here. Now see that's just like a gooseneck squash. Now you know they won't take that to market. Now see this in here? Now you see that's got a bad spot. And look at this little one. Now you see I split that one open over there. That rind's not ready. It's not even sweet. And Leslie says, well, I ain't saying he didn't cut a few culls now. They went on back and forth like that. And the fella picked and put a few little ones back on the truck. We went on out and got another load and came in. Well, by that time, they'd quit cutting the little ones. And we'd gotten all the little ones in that were going to be. So I says, now this load has got some size to it. And the fella agreed, and we loaded them on. He said, okay, well, we'll go ahead and pick them all out. We went on, just Bernard and Billy and me, picking up the rest of those melons. Well, Bernard is not quite strong enough to pick them up, and Billy was too worn out. That left me. So I had to put one of them up driving the tractor. And that was when I figured out how I could get some work out of them. Because they both wanted to drive the tractor, so I just figured if they don't behave and work, they don't drive. Mm-hmm. So I'd let one drive one time and one the other, and I'd get them up in. And I had Billy up there. You know how to drive, Billy? Yeah, I know how to drive. Yeah, I didn't get in there. Well, it's in neutral, and he doesn't have a clutch in, doesn't know where the brake is, and I go, oh, Lord. All right, Billy, push in the clutch. Well, he puts his foot on it, and he doesn't move it. I said, push on it, Billy. And he pushed it a little bit, so I took it in my hand and swung it all the way down. He says, all right, now put your foot down here. All right, now you hold that. He says, now I want you to let it out slow. So he started to. I says, wait a minute, Billy, you ain't got it in gear. So I put it in gear for him, and he's just looking at me with his big smile. You know, he's got all these new teeth coming in, so his teeth are all crooked and they're sticking out, and his big eyes. He's letting that clutch out and starts to boom, 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 boom. He pushes it back in. I says, you're doing fine, you're doing fine. Bernard's back there in the trailer. Whoa, Billy, what you doing, Billy? You don't know how to drive that tractor. You get him out of there and let me drive that tractor. I said, Bernard, you hush. Well, he got to where he could let the clutch out without killing the engine. So we went on up the road that way loading. And Isaiah saw what was going on. He stepped over and he just looked. And he saw how tired they were. And he says, well, I reckon maybe you at least ought to drive it up to the truck when you go in. I says, all right, Isaiah. So I'd catch it at the end of the row and swing it in. And doggone Bernard, see, they had a mower, a rotary mower, that sits underneath the tractor, slung under the belly. And Bernard would stand on it right in. Well, we got in, Bernard been giving me a hard time. Hey, I know how to drive this truck. You don't know how to drive this truck, Ricky. You old dummy. Get off this truck and let me drive. We got in. He'd been changing the throttle on me the whole time. I keep slapping his hand away. We got up, and he cuts the throttle and turns the thing off. And that kind of got me mad, but I didn't say anything. Because he really ought to start. When we got unloaded, and it wasn't going to start. It just, And if that wasn't bad enough, every time I'd push the starter button, see the starter button, it's on a rod, and you push that rod in. Well, Bernard grabbed the rod and pushed it in too, and hold it. He doesn't know what he's doing. I could hear the starter wasn't engaging. It was spinning free. I said, "Let go, Bernard," and I'd have to slap his hand. And then he'd reach up and mess with the throttle. So we had to get, I tried first. I got a hold of that crank and stuck it in. I thought, well, if Leslie can crank it, I can. I can tow the melon as good as he can. Well, I couldn't. I'd be damned if I could move it half a turn at a time. I put two hands on it, and I couldn't move it. And Leslie just smiled, you know. Those teeth of his are bright and straight, and they just gleam when he smiles. You can see them all, top and bottom. He come around, wait a minute. And he gets set, and he grabs hold of it. Boom! Away we go. He says, you know, sometimes I can just get it the first try.
But you have to put up with all of this when you're out there trying to load those nails.
It's only till Bernard and Billy got worn out that I could put up with. Mm-hmm. They're too tired to do anything. And I just do it one time, I'd let one drive, and one time I'd let the other drive, and I kept them shut up. And it was the three of us, and we'd been out there from the beginning, and we were out there till the end, doing most of the work. Well, they got some big fella, who I guess worked at Ruby's, because he had on white pants and white shirt like a busboy would. And he stood over me by half a foot and probably outweighed me by 75 pounds. And I was awful glad to see him. Because when we got up to those trucks, see, I was the only one with enough size to throw that melon up to the fella. Well, that meant I was picking up 15 and 20 pounds and tossing it up in the air. Well, I can do that for a little while. But after I've been picking up melons for 4 hours, big ones, well, I'm a little tired. So I got up in the truck to catch them. This fellow was fresh. And I couldn't catch him. He was coming so fast. He just, whoom, 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 whoom. Man, that's how we used to do it out in the field. We move, whoom, whoom. So I didn't even try to hand him to the fellow stacking. I just grabbed and set him on the floor. And if the fellow in stacking had his arms free, I'd give him one. The rest of them, I just set on the floor. And the whole time, there were these two black guys over there sitting down. And they were a little bigger than I was. And I don't think they sweated a drop all day. But you knew what they'd tell you. Man, I used to load melons. I'd load a lot faster than that. Mm-hmm. And I was awful tempted to let one roll their way. But this big fella in the white, he didn't seem to mind. Sit down and talk with him. Yeah, man, we used to load them fast, didn't we? We'd get him up there. He'd come back and toss them up. Well, we got one truck loaded, I guess, 500 or 600 melons. And we got the other one loaded almost to the top. You know, they got a tie. They have those wooden sideboards on those trucks. And they usually run a rope or a chain from one top to the tops, tie the tops together, because otherwise those melons would just push them out and bust them off. Well, it come about, oh, I guess it was 6:30. We brought in what we felt was the last load. And this young fella who was driving the truck said, you know, I could just use one more load. And Izell just looked at him and kind of walked away, and Leslie shook his head and said, I got to get back. I got some pressing to do. And said, yeah, just half a load. He said, well, you know, there's no more cut. Well, we'll cut them. Shoot, we'll go out and cut them. Come on, Izell, let's go out and cut those nuts. And I thought to myself, man, you've got the nerve. You made him mad once because you wouldn't take the melons you said you would. Now you want him to go out and cut some more. Well, before too long, he and Izell were out there cutting melons and toting them over, setting them on the heap row. And we came around, picked them up, and got another trailer load. Come back in. And these two fellows we loaded earlier said, "We want to talk to you." So he came up. I said, "How about 500 more melons?" And Leslie said, "I don't know now. I'm tired." And Isaiah looks at me and says, "Ricky, you're pretty tired, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, I reckon I'm a little worn." And the big fella had gone, and all we had left were just little kids. And they'd play and bust melons, and they wouldn't load them. And Billy and Bernard were so wore out that they couldn't throw them anymore. They could hardly pick them up. So we got this standoff with... We had Izell and the two middle-aged truck drivers on one side. One guy had a can of beer. And then on the other side facing them were the two other truck drivers and Leslie. And one of those fellows had a cigar. And they stood there for 15 minutes. "Well, what you going to give me? You only going to give me 50 cents? You can't do any better than that?" "Well, now, you know the melons in my truck aren't the size of that fellow's melons. I got mine up at that north end. That's them small melons. Look at that man's load. He's got some good ones." "Well, that man didn't take any little melons. What are we going to do about all those little melons?" "Well, I'll take them, but you know, you cut me some more. I can fill up that truck." "I don't know." "Well, what you say now? Look, you and me, we go out and cut these. You go home and get your steel, and we'll go out and cut those melons. We can heat them up." And he pointed me. "Yeah, that fellow wants to work some more." I didn't say anything. I just looked at the ground. And it was just the two, you know, bosses, the two drivers that were talking. Their helpers weren't saying too much. And I about got Izell convinced. And I about got Leslie convinced. Leslie said, "Now, you know, I got to go off half an hour. I got to get some dinner and get some stuff done." "I said, that's all right. We know you got to do that. You can just come on back." Said, "But it'd be getting dark." "Well, we got lights on these trucks. We can shine them out over the field." "What you say?" "We don't need 500. We just want to finish filling up that truck. There's some good sizes out there. Now, you don't want to go over these rows you've already cut. We don't have to tear up your vines, and we just go out there." And it looked like they were going to agree. And they kind of broke up a little bit. And then Izell looked at me, and he looked at Leslie, and he looked at the fellow and said, "I'm tired, I don't work anymore, that's it." Turned around and walked off. And the fella, he just looked at the helper and said, "Oh well, he ain't cutting anymore, that means he's not going to do any more today." So he finally agreed just to take the little melons that were there and go on about his way. He said, "But now I got to go down to Ocala." Currently he had to go down and get his truck weighed. "And I'll be back. Well, it'll take me about an hour and 45 minutes. Who's going to be here?" And Izell just looked at him. "Hour and 45 minutes? I reckon it'll take you 2 hours. An hour each way." So I said, "Oh, I can make it 45 minutes each way. Well, I'll come back and you all just go out and load up all those little melons we didn't pick up." And Izell just, "Yeah, I reckon so. There's somebody be here. Somebody be here." But he went on, and he got me and Billy and Bernard to go out again. Of course, that's when it started raining. We just got 23 of the puniest little melons you've ever seen. They looked like cantaloupes. And absolutely soaked. But did we have a ball that last run? Because there's nothing in the trailer, so I could run in third gear. And I had Bernard and Billy and three little short fellas, and all they wanted to do was dance in that trailer. "Come on, man!" And they danced. And we just went whizzing down the rows, and they had the biggest time. Just screaming and shouting and running around. And see, the melons were small, and they could handle these melons. And they throw those melons at each other. Here comes Bernard, shroom, and just knock him in the chest. And Bernard would catch it with both arms and rock back and turn around and sling it into Billy. And Billy didn't have to worry about stacking them. He just let them go anywhere and fly around in that trailer. And then they turn around. "Come on, we want this thing flat out. Come on, let's open this thing up and run." Oh, my Lord. And this little fella said, "Get out of that and let me drive. I know how to drive." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I'm sure you do." Oh. But that was it. 23 we got, and three busted ones. And I parked the tractor and turned it off, and all of us got back in the car and were eating nectarines and old bananas. Cold,
A little wet.
And I just, I wasn't saying much of anything. His wife is there. She called him Saunders. And she'd have his hand on his arm, kind of comforting. Well, now, Saunders. He just didn't say much of anything. And I said, well, does that do it? Yeah. I said, well, now those little melons on the ground, they got to be in the trailer. No, that fellow will pick them up. How many did you get? I said, we got 23. Oh. I said, well, that'd do it. I'll go on up. Oh, I'll give you a ride, Ricky.
Tired.
He was wore out. He had had a cup of coffee that day, and that was it. And Leslie's the one that's got all the energy, and he was gone.
Oh, yeah. Leslie's the one that makes it move?
Yes, he's got spirit about him.
Yeah.
And he'll talk.
But Isaiah can cut.
Yeah, see, Leslie doesn't know anything about cut. In fact, I don't think Leslie knows anything about melons.
Well, I don't know. I think they raised, I don't know where all they raised. But see, Isaiah was the head man out there at Wynn's. Outdoor man. For a number of years. 6 or 8 years.
Hmm. Yeah.
Even if he didn't know anything to start with.
Yeah. I remember Leslie said, I know peas. That's what he knew. Peas and planted peas. But he didn't know watermelons.
But he's learning.
He's learning. And they still got a good number out in that field. I don't know if they could fill another truck, but they've got a good bit out there still. They won't be doing anything tomorrow, though.
If they can help it, they won't.
Leslie didn't want to work. And that fellow said, these are your melons. You're not going to fill another truck. Now, this is your money. You already said you were losing money. Now we'll take these melons off your hand. And Leslie says, I'm tired. I don't want to load any more melons. I got to get back and do some pressing. And you know, about the middle of the day, there's some other black fellows that came up. Now, I don't know who they were. I'd seen one in the station before. And he's got quite a sense of humor. He's like he's complaining all the time, but it's always so funny. And he came up, and he was dressed in shorts and this kind of fisherman's hat and socks and shoes. And this other fellow came up with this loud, loud Hawaiian shirt. He had Hawaii and prime rib and beer and these decorations and flowers all over it. And they're just as clean as they could be and neat and kind of portly. And they got over the stack and started cutting up. All right, you guys, now get out of the way. We're going to throw this melon. And he'd pick it up and he'd stand there. And Leslie said, now what's happening? Are you locked in one position? They just cut up. Let them stay 10, 15 minutes just playing around with melons and giving Leslie and Isaiah a hard time. Now we're going to load. You all are just slow. Now you just get out of the way.
Just kind of, just, you know. I didn't know that went home. Well, you ought to hear little Bessie on the subject of Isaiah's girlfriend. That ain't his wife.
That's not his wife?
No!
Uh-oh.
That's his girlfriend. And she came over to help and picked peas one night. And he left her out there picking peas, and little Bessie got so mad at him. Because he left her in the pea patch. Little Bessie said, that ain't no way to treat her. I wouldn't put up with that from him.
She's been out loading melons before. She's showing us how she used to roll them up on her shoulder and stick them on the truck. Isaiah coming up Blaine, he says, that Debbie wanted to load those melons, but I just don't think she could have done it. You know, she wanted to. You know, you just can't do that.
That was the most talk I ever got out of him, convincing him for about 10 minutes that I could, that I would load the melons. You know, that's the only time.
She could have handed them up like the other one.
up after a while.
I might have made one trip. I might have made. After that, I don't know.
Feels good for a while.
Yeah.
And after that, the little muscles begin to.
Toward the end, though, you just kind of. It's just like you've got a rhythm, and you know you're tired, but you never find one that's so heavy you can't budge it. And some come close to it, but. But just every once in a while, you hit one that hits about 40 pounds or so. And it's hard,
yeah,
some of them
out there did look about that
big. It's just when somebody fresh comes along and starts sending them to you real fast, it makes you mad. And you know what I could see? If you work with Izell or Leslie, you've got a pace. If you're going to bring those melons in and set them on the heap row, you just watch Izell or Leslie. They're going at that one speed. They've got a nice, easy pace. You can keep up. And everybody's always kind of in a line, and you can just, if you're on row number 4, you can just pass it down the line and set it on the heap row. But the little boys get out there, they don't know.
Uh-huh.
And they're full of running. And off they go, and they'll go all the way down run row, tossing them over. Well, that just makes it hard on everybody else because there's no one to pass it to. And you can just see Izell and Leslie, come on now, you're doing it wrong. You get in line with. I thought, well, now that's probably training they just grow up with. But those young fellows, young black fellows that were fresh, were just as bad because they had to do it fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have to set them down, then I'd say, all right, you got to stop now because I got to get these out of my way so this fella can stack. And you know, those two fellows that picked up the melons, they'd never stacked melons before.
Oh.
And I said, all right, who can stack melons?
And that's not.
And I said, I've never done it. And they got, oh, I forgot who. That fellow in the white, he stacked them for a while, but then he had to leave, so the driver stacked them. And he got about half a row done, and then the whole thing just slid down. He said, I can't do this. So I got up and reset it, and went out in the load and came back, and he had his friend, what was that fellow's name? Daryl. He was one of the helpers on the trucks, stacking. Daryl said he'd never stacked before, but that man had a talent for stacking melons. And it was just as level and pretty across there and slanted at just the right angle. And he'd put up a row and he'd look at me and say, I'd never stacked in my life. And the driver just smiling, just so happy. He said, look at that man, he's got some talent. And he just passed him up.
But they had to be stacked.
Monday, when Shirley came by here, she brought her boys, number 2 or 3 or 4 of them, over here, over where they were packing loads. And 2 or 3 of the little Glisten boys were working with them, as I understand it. And Douglas Boyd was doing packing.
Hmm.
I see the other boys, all of them. Douglas is the one that hunted with Mr. Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the last one. He's the one that moved into town. And Shirley said that he was doing very well. He had some sort of ailment where he was supposed to be out in the sun or something. I didn't listen very close. I didn't know what was going on. But they were all pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I can't say anybody down there was really knew just what they were doing. Truck drivers never loaded them.
No.
Leslie never didn't know too much except driving that tractor, and Izell was always off cutting.
Well, it's like I say, it's Boyd fellow known for his stacking,
mm-hmm.
and this Mickens fellow that he'd just take his cane and point to the ones that needed to be cut. And it was just, and that's all he did. He was knowing about was living in Melbourne last year, so his wife and I went over all around doing that.
Mm.
They're known in the community, you know. Isaiah probably knows when there's life.
He does pretty good. We busted one every now and then to make sure. They were sweet.
That was fun, too.
You know, the middle of that field washed out, and it looks like somebody came in with a backhoe and just dug a hole. And we had come down, there's a heap row, runs right by it, and you have to turn to go around that hole, and we had that whole trailer, we had about 100 melons in it, two boys sitting on it, and then two of us on the tractor, and Leslie driving, and he came and cut a little close to that hole, and when the tire on the trailer went by, it gave way, and the whole thing just caved in. Well, he was going just fast enough to pull it off, you know, pull it by before it started to drop. And I just thought, Lord, you know, that could have really torn everything up. He just looked back, hee, and go on. I don't know how that man does it, but that just little giggle would just carry on and break up all the tension.
And his tractor wouldn't run, and his trailer wouldn't.
Trailer busted apart.
He
was out in the middle of the field with a Coca-Cola bottle, using that as a hammer, trying to put the nails back in it.
They don't have anything to work with.
He lost his pliers. He had a nail jammed in between the battery terminal and the cable, trying to make connection. No muffler.
Isaiah wanted to go out and Miss Bessie's look for a nail.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't find one.
He did.
Finally got some boards and hammered the trailer back together. But they pretty well torn it up. The bottom's going out of it. The sides are broken. That old tractor, no radiator cap, so all day long the water was just little balls of water popping out.
At least you're a little more familiar with that field than you were.
Yeah.
Well, now that's a curious thing, but that's the truth. It's that feeling for the country that they have, that I was trying to find a name for, that I got me started in the first place. And the South Carolina, of all things, to look places to look for anything, you see. You don't look for poetry for any information on it.
Not even any feeling on it.
But I used to run across these fellas that they know my field. They wouldn't. They'd ask what field it was. Is that field where there's a little plant cropping out? The old field. Do you see why?
Raining, you gotta get in touch with John Turner.
Oh, yes, and Miss Mary wants tomatoes from John Turner.
Whoa, good.
She wants.
That'll get him over here.
She wants up to 2 bushels, however.
Tomatoes or tomato plants?
Tomatoes. She wants the can. She loves the canned tomatoes. However, she did not say how much she was willing to pay for them, and I didn't know how much John Turner would charge. But I guess if he's asking a lot for them, she doesn't want them.
No, I don't think he ever does ask a whole lot.
Well, she said she tried to get some beans from somebody, and it was $7 a crate. And she didn't want
it. I'll give you my seat. You can just find out what he's up to.
Probably in bed.
No, might not be.
You're going to be. Ask him if he still wants those peanuts. If you don't, tell him I'll just plant some peas there.
I went right around, I don't know, 600 or 800. And the end of Rick's report, after supper, after working all day with Isaiah and the Watermelons, this Wednesday, the 20th of June, 73. Rick reports after supper on working with Isaiah and Watermelons this Wednesday after supper, the 20th of June, 73. I won right around 600 or 700, and the end of Rick's report, this working with Melons with Isaiah this Wednesday, the 20th of June, 73.
Much visual stuff. It's color, heed to color. You miss a lot. It's all color oriented.
So you saw Miss Townsend?
Yeah, they were in good spirits yesterday. We sat out in the yard and swatted yellow flies and talked. They had this. I didn't even meet. They didn't introduce me. He's a character working on the house. He seemed to be an interesting sort. Young fellow. Country guy with a beard, and modest hair, and driving a big yellow car, and seems he went to school. Said it sure didn't pay off going to school. But Mary decided that these guys were flim-flamming her about a new house, so she's going to fix the old one. She said, we don't need a new house. Something really got to me. She.
You use things in your coffee.
Things?
Yeah, sugar and cream and things.
Well, this is instant coffee.
Yeah.
And I use things in it. But I'd been there about a half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour or something. And Mary looks around and says, well, it don't do a bit of good to spend money on yourself, does it? What do you mean? She said, well, I just spent $140 and you hadn't even said anything. And she's talking about getting the hair off her face.
Thank you, teacher. That's the funniest
article. That's her message, isn't it?
Yeah.
She makes an outlandish statement that waits you to.
Don't do any good to spend money on yourself, does it?
Clean and sugar.
And I almost died laughing. I just. She's funny. She really is.
And she'll laugh right
away. Oh, yeah. She thought it was funny, too. That's one of those funny things you get into. You social situation, that's our Freudian life. You don't know what to say about it. And she just sits there and finally says, well, look, you didn't notice that I got all the hair off my face. And then you don't know what to say. You sure were ugly before. Going to Lane Towers. That's the damnedest thing. I heard it up. Go get your face for
it.
Well, she said you couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. Been a lot cheaper. She's done it 15 years ago. But she had to take care of Mr. Duncan. You couldn't do it.
He didn't put up with any super
close. I bet not. Bailey's big, you know, he's just gotten everybody off. And now they didn't give him a chance to put him in under indictment. Yeah, the fellas working on the house, somebody they all knew together. Old man worked at the trust plant. Young fella that never really worked too much, and he got hooked in on it. Said he came to his old man and said, look, I've been thinking about this a long time, and I believe I know we can make some money. I can make a lot of money doing this. I want to borrow $1,000 from you. What do you want $1,000 for? He said, well, I'm going to start selling pots and pans this year. Take $1,000 and do it. Old man said, you're crazy as hell. Old Boston fans, it cost $1,000 and he's sitting in the attic.
What?
He's sitting in the attic. That's all he's got. Box that, he says, a little bitty box.
But it was elaborate, that slim print. And I tell you, they wound up. The way she talked about that stuff, I mean, she just gets all geared up, sits back. And she said, I was out here and I saw this big signed car drive up. And this man got out of the car and he said, went from land down here. Started in talking all this nonsense to me. Just started talking about everything, all this nonsense. Just kept talking. And finally, he said, "You got something I want. I'm going to get it." He said, I reared up there and I said, "Just what the hell do I have that you want?" Then I got ashamed of myself and apologized. Getting mad at him. That's when she started in talking about wondering who she's going to call and how she's going to handle the whole situation. Then he said something about calling back at 6 o'clock. She says, I tell that part of the story. She said, then he left and she used his term before. She said, well, things rocked along, Bob. The way she said it, he used his name, rocking along. Time passing away, just walk along.